Welcome back to Tip TV Finance. I'm joined here by my co-host, who's Alan Green, from CEO at Brand Communications, and David Buick, who's senior market commentator at Panmure Gordon. How are you today, David?
I'm extremely well, and may I just take this opportunity of welcoming you to your sixth decade tomorrow.
Yes.
Happy birthday.
Very happy birthday, Zach.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I really do.
Should we move on?
Well, yes, I think we should, actually.
Okay.
Right.
I know you won't meet me at this 75th birthday.
I would like to meet you.
Right.
I'd like to meet you when...
Bobby Gates? Anyway, come on, let's crack on.
Right. Basically, a bit of G20 gossip and sniping.
I have to say, I watched more television. I'm a bit of a news junkie, I have to admit. And I watched more television than I actually liked to in the last 48 hours. And apart from Robert Peston, who gave for ITV what I thought was a cautious recommendation of Prime Minister May, I thought the media was awful. I think Prime Minister May, this is not her decision. You're right, she is a Remainer, but it was not her. She inherited this government, and she went over to China for the G20 meeting to give it her best shot. And whether Sky, BBC, or anywhere else are Remainers or Brexit, all I wanted to do was to leap out of my armchair and sing Rule Britannia, because they didn't give her a decent shout. Yes, President Obama was on her case. Yes, the Japanese Prime Minister was on her case. Yes, the European Union all but, you know, show contempt for the United Kingdom. Nonetheless, the British press should have been there supporting her. And they were right to point out the pitfalls and the damage that might be done in the months and years to come and the difficulty we're going to have. But to criticize her for not having a Brexit policy in place when the whole world has been on holiday throughout the entire July and August is completely ridiculous.
Yeah, but it looks like the whole of G20 is treating us like naughty children.
I know.
We voted the wrong way and we're going to be punished.
Which doesn't suit them.
Yeah.
I mean, since when, as Boris Johnson so rightly pointed out, which you pointed out before we started our chat, the idea that the United Kingdom should suggest to President Obama what he should do with foreign policy or with economic is unthinkable. And we wouldn't,
as Boris said,
we wouldn't do it.
Even though we've got a special relationship and everything.
Have we? Oh. Thank you.
Especially, well, we get insulted.
You know, I'd forgotten this for years and years. When Ronnie Reagan was around, when I was in short trousers, I believe you, that was special.
Yeah, Ronnie Reagan.
But not now. No. I mean, there's everything from BP to cooperating for sending bad people to and from each other's country, from any number of takeover battles and various other things. There has been no help that I can remember from the United States that is anything else but...
Isn't the irony of the whole thing that we're getting told off as naughty children, but most of the people who are telling us off don't even know that it's going to be bad for them or bad for us? But they didn't even know.
That's my point.
In the last 6 weeks, all the data has flipped back wonderfully on, you know, the manufacturing.
As it was always going to.
As it was always going to. You know, apart, only the only economists didn't know that it wasn't going to do that. And since then, you know, it's been up, up and away. So... They may be the Japanese are saying we're going to leave. They might be leaving the best place to do business in the Western world.
Look, the Japanese begged us to join the euro. We didn't, thank goodness. Mm. May I just remind President Obama and may I remind the Japanese Prime Minister that Mrs. Merkel or Frau Merkel or Chancellor Merkel got rubbished over the weekend, that she's likely to get beaten next October, that Hollande is all but dead and buried politically, mm-hmm. that Holland is against the European Union, that Italy and Greece are absolutely standing on the brink of financial disaster, that Spain has yet to have a form a government, hasn't done so, that Portugal is in a parlous situation. Do we really want to be part of that?
Exactly.
Is that where our future really lies?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
So just massive hubris, it's G20 imploding. Hubris, is it?
Well, I just think it's just completely ridiculous. And we're not saying that we don't want to deal with all these countries individually on merit, do lots and lots of business, because we do. And we've always said we do. But I just think that we have not been treated with respect. And what disappoints me, frankly, is that the press should have shown Mrs. May a little bit more respect than she has.
The G20 situation, that's been a bit of a school playground situation. But there's still the issue of all these trade deals, these infamous trade deals that we were either going to get in on or not get in on. How much of an impact is that either way?
I think it's quite a lot of impact. The only thing that I think hasn't happened, and if it hasn't happened, I will be quite critical, is that in the course of the last 2 months, yes, I know it's the holiday period, but if David Davis and Dr. Fox haven't been flat to the boards trying to hire 200 or 300 trade negotiators, then they've been in dereliction of their duty, because we are going to have a very tough time.
They haven't asked me. I'm a bit.
Are you a trade negotiator? I didn't know that.
Yes, okay. I could do a bit.
Okay, well, I couldn't. But I think those, to be honest with you, I think that's joking aside, I think it's key. And I think the silence has been utterly deafening in that department. And they need to get the lead out, and get the lead out very, very quickly. Not to be bullied by President Obama or Chancellor Merkel or President Hollande to hurry up and sign Article 50. Is it's in the UK's interest to have some really smart, clever negotiators, that so that when policy has been formulated, we're off to the races. That slightly worries me.
All right, just quickly, we were just saying off air, pound up. Is that where we're thinking it's going to keep going?
No, I don't think so. I think that you and I both thoroughly enjoyed the bounce from 127 to 133. I think possibly in the next 2 or 3 days we could go to 135. I'd just like to throw a note of caution at this conversation that we have, is that we've now had, I think it's 3 quarters in the United Kingdom and 2 in the United States where we've seen no growth in income or in terms of profits for corporate companies. And I'm not certain that the 3rd and 4th quarter are going to look that wonderful anyway. So we need to be very careful on this. And I think after the recovery from a severely trashed level in construction, manufacturing and in the service sector, it's possible that we could just bottom out for a couple of months. So I would see us going back to about 130, 129.
All right, finally, a point that I've noted today was from Barclay Homes, the house builder. They forecast to make £2 billion this year. But at the same time, they're complaining about housing policy and infrastructure and the way things are done on that front. Couldn't they make houses a bit cheaper?
Well, I think probably if I was Tony Pidgley and others, I'd be spitting blood at the way this hysteria came out in April, May, before the thing about housing and interest rates going up and all this stuff. Because all these shares, Redrow, Persimmon, Taylor Woodrow, all of them, Barrett Development, Bovis, took a real clattering. Mm. And now we said sayonara to Barclay Group, when was it, on Monday, from the FTSE 100. I'd be quite cross about that. But he's just got to prove that it's right. But stamp duty is a big issue, in my opinion, and I think they need to look at it, because it doesn't actually raise that much in the way of income.
So that's the government's fault.
Yeah. And the other thing is, we do not want local authorities to release land at a cheaper price. They've got to be told. Until they're actually told, I don't think it's going to change.
You don't think house builders are profiteering, which is what
I
was implying?
I'm sure they have. But the other side of the coin is, house builders should be interested in building houses, whether it's 200,000, 300,000 or whatever it is, over a certain period of years or whatever it is, and making a decent profit at it. The speculation of the land, in my opinion, is not their job. And I think they've had to do it, and they've done it quite cleverly in the last 25 years. But if we're going to see affordable housing really come out at a level where individuals can actually afford it, it's got to be the cost of the land. Because you know what it's like. You know, you get Zach Mere Towers, and Mere Towers goes down in flames in West London. It's the plot of land that you've got that costs a fortune. And maybe Zach Towers is worth X pounds, but to rebuild it, it costs, what, a third of that?
A fraction.
That's the point.
David Buick, senior market commentator, Pamela Gordon, thank you very much for coming in today.
You smile.
I'm trying to be authoritative. We'll be back after the break.